Please open in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter number
3. And
the title of the message, Life Through the Son. Life Through the Son. John chapter
3.
We're reading together. We're reading together from verse 14 to verse 15.
Retabalotwa ho verse 14 ho ya ho verse 16. Ere ka soto. Jole ka ha moshe ane a phamisi no ha felleng. He ka gona mora motho a phamisi jwalo. Gore e molemong ya dumelang ho yena a be le bophelo bo sa felleng.
From the ESV, it reads as follows. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The title of this message, Life Through the Son, already suggests that there is something that is missing from us. Especially if you are not in Christ Jesus. It speaks of one having no life. That's why it says life through the Son. So our focus is that this morning we must look at life, that we can only have life through the Son. And obviously this life is eternal life, is a spiritual life. It's not the life that we live and do things that we do, but the life that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I must remind you, church, all of us, we had no life. We had no life until we had the Son. We were dead in our sins. So it is with everyone who is not in Christ. You don't have life, we are dead in your sins. But through our lives now that we live in Christ, we thank the Lord for Jesus Christ who quickened us and gave us life in himself.
And
now we are numbered among the people of God. So my aim this morning is to remind you of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Is
to remind you of the beauty of the cross. I want to remind you of the love of God through the death of his Son. If we open the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter
8, verse 4,
it says, what is man that you are mindful of, and the Son of Man that you care of him? This verse already tells us that we have a privilege in Christ Jesus. We have found favor in the sight of the Lord. Friends, we should be puzzled that Christ, that God himself, will take notice of us. We should be puzzled that the Lord himself will care for such sinners like me and you. You need to ask a question: who am I that the Son of God may even die for me? Are you not amazed, my friend, that the majestic God will even think of you and care for you, something so great that he did for his people? has to give his only son for your sins? Or do we really think we deserved it? You need to remember the most amazing thing about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he did it willingly. He was not compelled to do what he did. He was not compelled to die for sins of the people. It was all of grace. He came into this world willingly. He came into this world knowingly what will happen to him. We must always be reminded that Jesus Christ was able to come down from the cross. He was able to come down, but he did not choose to come
down.
He says, if I wanted to, I was going to call a legion of angels from heaven to help me to fight. But he chose to remain in the cross. He chose us. He chose the nails on his hands. He chose the nails on his feet for a people like me and you. There are three things that I want us to consider this morning very shortly. One, the first thing, the lifted up Savior. Secondly, the believed on Savior. And thirdly, the life-giving Savior. Let's look again here in verse number 14 first. Let's look together to verse 14. Don't close your Bible. Verse 14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He says, as Moses lifted up a bronze serpent in the wilderness, he's talking about the past.
And
in the same way, the Son of Man will be lifted up. That was 2,000 years ago. Which is what most people are celebrating this week, during this weekend. And we are so privileged, brothers and sisters. We are able to page the pages of scripture and really see that it did happen. The Son of God was lifted up. He was crucified for the sins of the people. Though he was innocent and sinless, but he took a place of people who were not innocent, people who are not standing right before God.
Yeah,
in this text that we have read this morning is a conversation between Jesus Christ and a man named Nicodemus. We have done, I think, 4 or 5 studies in the life and the conversations that took place between Nicodemus and Jesus. By now, we should know who Nicodemus is. I will challenge you to read the chapter number 3, and see who Nicodemus is. A man who came to Jesus, a religious man who thought he was standing right before God. A man who thought he was on his way to heaven. But here Jesus disagreed with him. He says, unless you are born from above, unless you are born again, you shall not see, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So if Jesus disagrees with you, Jesus disagrees with you. He does disagree with you. If he says you will not enter into the kingdom of God, it means you will not. If Jesus says, go, your sin is forgiven, it means go, your sin is forgiven. If Jesus says you are clean, it means you are clean. If he says, unless you believe on the Son of God, you shall not enter the kingdom of God, it means you shall not unless you believe on the Son of God. This man Nicodemus, he came by night to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't tell us why he came by night. But the most important thing that we see here is that Nicodemus did recognize that all the questions that he had, they can only be answered by one man, and that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He had questions in his heart. Something that he was battling with. About eternal life. But while he's talking to Jesus, he found some shocking news. He found some shocking truth. Jesus tells Nicodemus, he says to Nicodemus, salvation is only a free gift from God. Man is not contributing anything to salvation. It comes freely from God. He says God is in control of the spiritual birth. From the beginning to the end is the work of God. He says in verse number 8. You can look at in verse number
8.
Says the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. He brings this illustration to open the eyes of Nicodemus.
He
says, since you know that no one controls the wind but God, so no one controls his new birth but God. The same way that you don't bring yourself into this life, you needed a mother and a father for you to come to this life. So since you didn't bring yourself into this life, in the same way, you don't bring yourself into a new birth. You don't have the power to raise yourself from the dead. You can catch one rat that is running around here, kill it, throw it down here, and tell the rat to stand and walk. You will call until you are blue in the face. The rat is not going to stand up because the rat is dead. So it was with us. When we were dead on our sins, we were dead like a dead rat. Regardless that I shout and say, rise and walk, you will not stand until the one who's got power to give life gives life to a dead rat, then the rat will stand. Only God can do that. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus, he says, you are not in control. God must raise you from the dead. But for this to happen, The Son of God must be lifted up, he must be crucified, he must be hanged on the cross. Which is why then he brings him to this illustration or to this thing that had happened in the past. He reminds him of that incident in the book of Numbers. If you may open Numbers chapter 21. Let's open Numbers 21. He's trying to show Nicodemus what God will do, what God will do to save men from their sins. Why is Jesus coming into this world? Why without Jesus nothing matters?
Numbers chapter
21. Numbers chapter
21.
We read together from verse 4 to 9.
Verse 4 to 9.
I'll read from the English first.
English.
From Mount Or, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. And we loathe this worthless food. We hate this with this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they beat the people. So that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. If a serpent bites anyone, he will look at the bronze serpent and live.
Moshe a rapella chaba. Mren ar o Moshe, Popa noa e masogo, owe fanyes fate. Emulemung yal miling. Hi, daddy me, but a fola. Moshe a bopa nohaka le tose, a fanyas papa no. Se fate. In a re, ha manglum kapa man, yal miling kenua a tadima noha ena, yal tose.
So what Jesus is doing reminds Nicodemus of this incident of the past. He tells him that the people began to complain about everything. They complain about the manna, the food that came freely from heaven. They claim that the food of the past, the food of Egypt, was better than the manna that comes from God. They say, "We are tired of this worthless food." And Jesus says, since they were not thankful, since they don't give thanks to the Lord, and they did not appreciate what God did for them, then God sent fiery serpents to bite and kill them. And when we read in this story, we realize that it was until the people cried out to God, then the Lord came and helped them. He said to Moses, raise up a bronze snake and put it on a pole so that whosoever look on this snake, then he shall live. Until they called for the mercies of God, nothing happened. Which is my prayer, my friends. I pray that we learn to cry unto the Lord. I pray that we may know that only from God comes our help. I pray that people may cry and say, Lord, save me a sinner. Have mercy on me. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, just then as Moses raised up that bronze serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. So two things will happen. Jesus will be lifted up. People will have to believe in him. And those that believe will have eternal life. Because the people have sinned before God. That's why God gave to them, he gave them over to the serpents. And we can relate to that ourselves. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we realize that those who looked on that bronze serpent, they lived physically. But the Bible says those who shall look upon the Son of God will live spiritually and will live forever. Those people were guilty before God. They deserved to die in the same way. We relate to that. The Bible says, Romans 6 verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we look at this story in the wilderness, then we realize that there was no remedy for them. Then we look in our own lives today. We need to realize that there is no remedy for us. It was until Moses lifted up a bronze serpent in the wilderness. It was until he did that. So it is even with us today. Until the Lord Jesus Christ is raised up and crucified on the cross, there is no remedy for sin. For the Bible says there is no remission of sin unless there's a shedding of blood. So Jesus says here to Nicodemus, God is about to do something greater than that. He commanded Moses to raise up a bronze serpent, something that looks like it's dead. But he's about to do something greater. He's not going to raise another bronze serpent, something that can be destroyed. But he's going to raise up his own son on the cross. Just as many were saved that night, so many again will be saved through the life of Christ that will flow from him, that will flow from his vein, that blood on the cross, they will be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. You read Romans 5. It says, while we were still weak, the Son of God died for the ungodly. You read from verse 9 to to verse 10.
It
says God reconciled us to himself through the death, through the blood of his son. The Bible says he sent his son into the world to suffer for our sins, to die on our behalf, to bear that penalty of sin. So it was at the cross where our sins were taken away. It was on the cross where the sinless Lamb of God was slain, in order that he may draw many people to himself. You look again in verse number
14.
There is a word there, it says, so must the Son of Man. There is a word there, must. So must the Son of Man.
Verse 14.
In other words, it was a must. It was essential for it to happen. There was no other way for God to save people until Christ was raised up on the cross. So if you put your trust in something else rather than the one lifted up on the cross, there is no way for you to enter into the kingdom of God, because it was a must for him to be raised up on that cross. There is no hope for us, my friends, unless Christ is lifted up. And praise be to our God, for he was lifted up. Open again Isaiah 45 verse
22.
Let's read what it says in Isaiah 45 verse 22. Those who have a privilege of having the King James, it says, look unto me and ye be saved, all the ends of the earth. Neighbor, ishonjali funga I told you, learn to bring a paper that you can write all the verses. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Each and every one of you, not some specific people, meaning not only the Jews, but all the ends of the earth, look unto me. That was Jesus. He's saying the same thing to Nicodemus. He says those who will look up to him will be saved. I read of the conversion of Charles Spurgeon. Listen to this. On
January 6, 1850,
a snowstorm almost crippled the city of Colchester. That is in England.
England.
And a teenage boy was unable to get to the church he usually attended, nearby Methodist Chapel. Then there was a man there who was not prepared to preach.
The
preacher of the day was absent. Then this young man had to just stand up and say something to the few people. There was like 4 or 5 people in the church. He stands there because Bembe is absent without reporting. Then he didn't have anything to preach about because he was not prepared. He opened Isaiah 45 verse
22.
Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For many months this young man had been miserable. He came to the church and he sat at the back alone. And we are told that he was actually raised in a house. His father was a preacher, his grandfather was also a preacher. But he did not have assurance for salvation. And this unprepared substitute preacher did not have things to say. So he kept repeating these words. He kept reading the same verse. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And the people were sitting there, five people. Then he puts a few words, then he actually said, a man does not have to go to the college to learn to look. A man does not need to be taught how to look. Anyone can look. A child can look. A crippled man can look. He went back to the verse. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Then he looked at that young man sitting alone. He knew he was a visitor. Said, young man, you look miserable. Young man, look unto Jesus. And the young man, by faith, he looked up to Christ. That was the conversion of the great preacher Charles Spurgeon. Convicted by a man who was not prepared to preach. Just saying one word, look unto him and be saved. The same word today, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus, look. Someone need to look. Someone need to look on the cross. But why? Why? Because there is life. In Christ Jesus, there is life. Life is through the Son. One has to look and be saved. So our text this morning reminds us of that death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds us of the shedding of his blood. And it commands us to look and be saved. And if you really think and you know, you have assurance that you are saved, it also commands you to continue to look. We don't stop looking at him. We don't stop looking and trusting upon the lifted Savior. For our lives flow from heaven through him to us, and we go through him to heaven as well. So we need to look. He says to Nicodemus, unless someone look at me. The question is, have we looked unto Christ? Are we alive? Do we abide in him? Do we bear much fruit? Cling on Christ and be saved. Live for the glory of God. Live in the light of the gospel. Live in the newness of life. That is what Jesus came, so that those who are dead may live. That so that then when they are alive, then they may live in the newness of life. Let's look at verse 15 together. We get our second point there. It says that it picks up from the words that Jesus was saying. After saying the Son of Man must be lifted up, he says that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So we see that eternal life is through the Son. But the verse suggests that this eternal life can be found only through believing on him. It doesn't help in other ways that the Son of God must be lifted up. He needs to be lifted up. He was lifted up. But we have a responsibility as a people in this world that we may believe. We need to believe. Once you look, that was the first thing I was talking about. Look. You look. You believe. Because when you look, you will see his glory, you will see his holiness. And if you look very careful at him, you will see your own sinfulness. Then you will see your need of a savior. then you will believe that without him you are lost. Without him you are on your way to hell. So when he says people must believe, he's speaking of the fact that people must put their trust on him and repent of their sin. They must put their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the people trusted on that commandment that God gave to Moses. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the fact that Jesus Christ tells Nicodemus that we need to believe, he tells a religious man that he needs to believe. It means that no one should remain in his sin. No one should remain in ignorance. We must trust in the Lord. We must believe in him. Every man, every tongue, every people of this world. All we need a savior. All of us, we need a savior. Hallelujah. So Jesus tells Nicodemus, he says the new birth results into believing. If you have the new birth, then the proof is that you begin to believe. Once you are raised from the dead, you will have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, he continues, says, all this is because of the love of God. If you read verse number 16, it's because of the love of God. The love of God that is unconditional. The love of God that doesn't look at what you must do or what you have done in the past. But the love of God that comes to you by his own grace and mercy to raise you up from the dead. Jesus Christ says the God loved us so much that he gave his son. He didn't spare his own son. Let's quickly, before we run out of time, look in verse 15 again and get our third point there. Because Jesus is telling Nicodemus that you have a need. Every man in this world have a need. You need to believe and be saved. But the Son of God must be lifted up first. Then we must believe. We read again in verse 15. That whosoever believe, we done with believing. Why must I believe? That you may have eternal life. Friends, eternal life means life eternal. The Bible speaks and says, those now who are in Christ, if you believe in Jesus, you have passed through death and entered into eternal life. There is no condemnation unto you now. Even if the world can condemn you, even in your poverty, if you think you are poor, but once you have Jesus, you have everything. But if you have everything but you don't have Jesus, then you have nothing. Look at verse number
16,
which is in favor of verse
15.
For God so loved the world that he gave with his only son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3 verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains in him. Chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So if you know Jesus, that is God, then you have eternal life.
Chapter 17, verse 3.
So here's the reminder, my friend, that you need to take hope. The purpose of Christ coming into the world. The purpose of the death and resurrection of Jesus. The purpose why the Son of God will be lifted up. It's so that we may live, so that we may have life, so that we may receive the life from God. Eternal life. Life that no one else can give. So you see here in verse 15, my friends, he speaks of one who believes now, but have eternal life when? Now. You believe now, you receive eternal life now. You don't believe now and hope that one day you'll have eternal life. That is the beauty of the cross. That is the power of the death of Christ. It raises someone from the dead today and gives someone life today, and that life lasts forever. So when we look at the cross, we see our bright future. We see the love of God. He was mocked for us. He was afflicted for us and wounded for our transgressions. We remember on the cross, the Bible tells us that there were two criminals. Listen to this story. There were two criminals beside him. We know it. But one found favor. One managed to call to Jesus Christ. In pain and suffering, in his agony and shame. He believed on the lifted up Savior. His crimes and punishment did not stop him from calling unto Jesus. His guilt and shame did not stop him from calling unto Jesus. We know all of us what he said. Let me remind you. Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. The question is, what is stopping us now? What is stopping us today? Not to call upon Christ and say, Jesus, remember me. Look at me, a sinner, and save me. What's stopping us from lifting up our eyes unto him, so that we may have eternal life, the life that is everlasting, unlike the life we inherited from Adam and Eve. A life of hypocrisy, a life of lies, a life of sin. Unlike the life they received by looking at that bronze serpent. A life that was temporal. But if you lift up your eyes unto Jesus, as you remember the cross, this Good Friday, we must remember, we must look and live. So Jesus is pleading with Nicodemus in this text to give his heart to God. He's talking to us as well to give our hearts to God. Not to rely on the previous religious experience. You see, there are people who rely on what they were before. Some they grow up in Sunday school. So Jesus said, no, don't forget about the past. It is good. But examine yourself right now. Are you standing right with God now? He says to Nicodemus, I understand you are a religious man. You understand the Torah. You've been in the synagogue. You've been in the temple. We are a ruler of the people. We are a part of the Sanhedrin. You are in charge. You pray maybe 3 times a day, Nicodemus. Like that. But he says, unless you lift up your eyes unto the crucified Christ, you have no life in you. Unless that's a call today, my friends. Let us not rely on the things of the past. Oh, 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 oh. just as many people in the past stood under the righteous judgment of God, under the righteous anger of God, it is even today. Unless the Son of God is lifted up, unless you look at Him by faith, unless you believe, you will die in your sins. But there is good news, my friends. The Son was lifted up. Our Passover lamb is sacrificed. Now we have eternal life because we have believed. So, congregation of God, to have life through the Son, behold the man upon the cross. Believe in him. Have eternal life. The Bible in the book of Numbers. The people began to call upon the Lord. Now we need to look around us. We need to look. Then you must realize that you don't have help, but only to lift up your eyes unto heaven. They looked up on the pole. We look up to Christ. They received temporal life. We receive eternal life. We must remember the cross, my friend. Christ died for our sins. We must remember the cross, my friend. God loved the world and He chose His Son that He will die for us. That His Son may die for the guilty ones. Will you praise Him for such grace? Will you glorify Him for such love? Will you thank Him for Jesus? Will you thank Him for salvation? Will you praise Him for the cross? We take away the sins of men. Three things. His Son was lifted up on that cross for our sins. His Son must be believed on. His son gives eternal life. If we believe. Do we believe? May the good Lord bless us as we remember the cross. Look and live. Life comes through the Son. Let's pray.
Help your church, O Lord. We pray for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, I'm going to pray for the benediction. Kabaka leo, ke humamelantate, e muluke yose e maudimo lelefatseng, e reletseng ka yena. Ka oya ka boholo ba tlotla ya hae. Ake a lekeletse matla ka moya wa hae. Hekele matlafale bothong ba lona ba moya. E le hore ka tumelo Kreste a ahe ka dipelong tsa lona. Le tsitse le tie leratong. Hore mmoho le badumedi bohle le hle le tsebe ho utlwisisa seo bophara ba lona, balelele ba lona, bophamo ba lona, le botebo ba lona bo leng sona. Le tsebe lerato la Kreste le fetang tsebo yohle. E le hore le tlale bophelo bo phethehileng ba Modimo. Yena eo matla a hae ka o sebetsa ka ho rona. A ka etsang tse fetang hole tseo re ka di kopang kapa tseo re ka di hopolang. A ke a hlotliswe kerekeng le ho Kreste Jesu ka mehla le mehla.
ka mengwaha le mengwaha a hobe jwalo.
Amen.
Amen.